Welcome, everyone. This is How to Build a Better Business. And I'm here with Linda Thomas. And Linda is going great guns building her business. I can't wait to learn more about what she's doing. The first thing I want to talk about, though, is when we first get started going down this path, sometimes we don't know, well, always we don't know what we don't know. And so we sign on to different programs. We see something, we think, oh, that might pertain to what I'm doing. Next thing you know, we kind of have this Frankenstein hodgepodge of programs. And some we get tons of value out of. Some didn't quite hit the mark on where we are in our journey. Some are too far ahead of us. Some are a little behind us. And so for whatever reason, once we start down that path, we discover that oftentimes something that we signed up for isn't quite making the mark. And I'm going to let Teresa in here. Teresa, click through to join us. And that way you can just listen in if you want. Okay, she's declined. We're going to definitely allow her to chat with us. So I want to make sure you can hear us, Teresa. So anyway, when we get these programs, and we realize that sometimes, you know, maybe it's not quite what we were after. There's nothing wrong with going back and cleaning out some of those. Am I right, Linda? Some of those programs that you didn't need, especially if they're on some sort of a monthly fee basis or an annual basis. And I don't know about you, but those that are on an annual basis, I sometimes even forget that I signed up for something. And a year later, you know, $113 hits my account. And I'm like, what? And I look and it's a program that I bought, I looked at, didn't use, and didn't get it canceled. So I encourage everyone as you're going to on this journey of building your business is don't forget and leave money on the table. You know, don't leave money out there paying for some of these programs that you no longer need. So look at your bank accounts. Again, I have a system. One of my systems is that I run all of my online business through one individual bank account, separate from my personal, separate from some of my rentals. And that way I don't have to like scroll through months and months and months and months of charges where everything's all piled in together. I'm just looking at that one business account just for this online business. And that seems to work for me so that I can kind of keep my head above water. Teresa said she's going to leave and come back. Okay, good to know. Thank you, Teresa. And so I'm doing that now. So I just went through, oh, I got my little post-it here. I just went through yesterday. I've got my little post-it note. And I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things that I deleted just last night that I'm no longer using or have never even really used to begin with, because sometimes you find something you like better. And sometimes, you know, the sales funnels are good. You know, we talk about sales funnels. They're good. Some of them are so good that you click through and buy something. And then you realize after you purchased it that it really didn't hit the mark for you. So again, don't forget to clean that up. So that's kind of my journey right now today. So I can now I've loosened up some funds that I can now spend, and there's nothing wrong with trying out some programs. So now I can try some other things. I can invest in some other things, and I can see what works best for me, for my business and what it is that I'm doing. And so anyway, I want to go over to Linda for just a moment. She had a question about was it Zoom? The Zoom link? Yeah. What was your question, Linda? Oh, you're on mute.
So like I said, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Great. So I know that in your Zoom calls, you have told people to, if they want to have the, like a direct link to this particular meeting, click on the green shield and grab that link. And I tried doing that for a meeting that I'm hosting, and maybe it's because I'm the host that I can't do it. I don't know. But when I clicked on the link that they offered in the green shield, it was still the Zoom registration page. Maybe an outsider trying it would get the direct link. I don't
I
know.
think you're always going to get the registration page, and if you have that particular Zoom call or webinar set up that folks need to register because you're trying to capture their email address. And Linda, you froze there, which means I probably froze. Sherry, am I frozen or is it Linda? It's Linda. Okay. Linda, you're the one that's frozen there. But to answer your question, I hope you can still hear me
I don't know
and
if
hope.
you can hear me. You're frozen on my screen.
Yeah, Sherry jumped in and Sherry said that I was okay, that you were the one that was frozen. So maybe there's something going on there. But
Yeah.
anyway, to answer your question, if you set the Zoom call or webinar up in the settings that you want folks to register, I think it will always make them register to get into the call because the whole intent is you're trying to capture their email addresses so that you can add that to your CRM, your marketing, whatever, however you're doing that on your end. So I am thinking that that you're always going to get that. But instead of folks, and the reason I say, oh, go up to the little green shield if you're on the call and capture that, the reason I say that oftentimes is because I don't know about you, but I get a couple hundred emails a day. And so if they want to tap in the following Monday or, you know, because I'm on every Monday at noon. And if they want to tap in some other Monday, they're scrolling trying to find where did Kathy send me that link. And if I tell them, just go up to the green screen and capture that link. And I'm going to look at mine right now. When I click on it, it's got the webinar actually ID number. Yeah, instead of that whole invite link. Both. When I click on the green screen, mine shows the webinar ID, and then I'm the host, and then it shows the invite link. It's the invite link. If you copy that one, that's the one that makes them register again. The webinar ID should bring them directly into the webinar. It's just the what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. It's an 11-digit number. And
Okay.
it's not that whole invite link. So I think that webinar ID should get them straight into the call. The invite link is what takes them back through registration again. But either way, whichever one they click on and save in their calendar, it'll be in their calendar and they'll be able to just click right on it. And even if they have to put in their, you know, email again to get the actual webinar link, it's still a faster route than scrolling through all their emails trying to find one. Now, I also say this for those of you that are using Google Calendar, I put all of my events on a Google Calendar. And for those of you on this call, you may have seen that where you can just click on the calendar and it has everything on the calendar. They can save a particular Monday on their calendar. It automatically copies it over to their calendar, or they can copy my entire event calendar into their. If they go, oh, I want all of Kathy's events. I want to pick and choose throughout the month. I want them all to be on my calendar. They can actually choose to do that right on Google Calendar, and it's at the bottom of the calendar where you can click through, and it'll come right over into their calendar as well. So you can tell your students that they could do that. If you had a calendar where you have everything listed, is that helpful?
It is. My goal was for people who opted in for text reminders to give them, they're already on my list. So I'm not seeking to add them again, of course. And I'd like
Right.
to make it just a little bit more streamlined for them, just as a convenience and a courtesy. But my initial attempt with the link was taking me to the registration page, and the event has a password. So I would need to give them that 11 digit or whatever and the
And the password.
password, and may it's still a little easier because you have less stuff on your phone than
Right.
going into Pandora's box with all of your emails.
Well, and it doesn't make them feel like they're an outsider having to sign up every time.
I know, I want them to feel like they're insiders, and I want that
Yes.
convenience for them.
Yes. So again, when I click on the little green shield on my call right here, it gives me, does it give you, if you click on that on your computer, does it give you the webinar ID, the
It
one that starts
does.
with yes. And then it shows me as the host, and then it has that invite link. So I'm thinking that, and mine does not have a password. Mine is where I
Yeah.
have to let them in to the call individually. So
But I think
I'm thinking.
you are an actual webinar, and I'm not. I'm a
Okay.
meeting, so I think that's the difference.
Okay. And for those of you that are listening, there is a difference between meeting on Zoom and a webinar on Zoom. And I chose the webinar feature. I pay more for that, for those of you that are listening, because I had a big real estate call and I was getting some crank callers. I was getting like 200 people on a call and I couldn't monitor that many by myself. And then some folks were deciding to disrupt the call just for the fun of it. Probably some college guys that were doing it as a prank. And so I went to webinar so I had more control over the call, if that's helpful. Welcome, Sherry. How are you? Yay, I get to see Sherry on Friday. I don't get to see
Hi.
her very often. I get to see her in person. She's coming into Columbus, Ohio.
I
Sherry,
have cards ready for Friday and all kinds of
okay.
fun stuff.
I saw you doing your little grab bags, putting together your little gift bags or whatever it was. I saw that.
Yep.
So good for you. Good, good, good. So I'm just excited to get to see you. Estella is not going to be on today. She texted me and said she had another commitment. I haven't heard from Debbie for a while. For those of you that know Debbie, please reach out. She's had some very major surgery a while back, and I'm not sure how she's recovering. So reach out to her and give her a little bit of loving. So. Last time we were on, we talked about on building a better business. We talked about our free offer. We've gone all the way through our VPS, what our value proposition statement is, our serving is our selling. We talked about our story, and we talked about how to be a guide on your website and make your client the hero. And then we started talking about putting together offers, and our first one was our free offer. And today is our first base offer. And so I want to share what I did, and I think you guys will appreciate this on this call. Let me go to my screen. And here is the website. And I'll make this rather quick because I bore everybody with this every time. And when you come over to the More button and click on the More button, we're under the Entrepreneurs and Solopreneurs today. And I'm going to go straight to the screen that I'm working on. And this is the screen. Let me see if I can get the blue off of there. These are the four ingredients for creating an offer that customers can't refuse. Now, I'm not going to read this to you, but I'm just going to give you some examples. Like, sign up for our free newsletter. Okay, that wouldn't necessarily tap anybody's toe. But if you say register for your free copy of the seven deadliest sins of small business marketing, are you guilty? Then all of a sudden people are like, oh, okay, that sounds like something. And you know, and then they can get some great ideas for growing their business delivered to their inbox. Well, what they're doing is they're signing up for your newsletter, but you've just worded it different. And so all I'm saying is pay attention to how you word some of your offers. You can call this number for a free consultation, or you can be one of the first 10 companies. See, I put a little bit of urgency in there to receive the free Smart Business Tax Strategy review. So you can just word it differently to actually get a little bit more involvement with your audience. So, as it goes down, what I did is I went over here to my chat and I said, I want to offer my audience to buy my new book, number three, directly from me, a signed copy, but get both book number one and two as a bonus. And then the first 20 people can actually get that. Because again, I've got so many author copies and I'm willing to, and I've got author copies of all three books. So, I'm willing to give away. Of the book number one and two, 20 copies to sell book number three. And so here is what chat put together, a special offer for my amazing readers to celebrate the launch of my new book. I'm offering something special. The first 20, book one is free, book two is free, plus your copy will be signed and personalized. Message me now, click, 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 or reserve a bundle. So you get the idea. Well, what I did is I said, I want you to, I went back over here. And that's why this was blue when we first tuned in. I went back over here and I copied all of this whole lesson. And then I came back and said, rewrite that ad using this lesson. And this is how it turned out. And I just copied my lesson right from the academy right into my chat. And it says, here's your ad rewritten using the four ingredients. So here's how it turned out. A book bundle you can't refuse, but only for the first 20. Introducing my brand new book, number 3, now available, signed by me personally. But I'm not just offering a book. I'm giving the first 20 readers something extra special. Buy my newest release, number 3, directly from me and receive a personally signed copy. Then you get book 1 for free, book 2 for free, a beautifully bundled set shipped straight to your door. That's all 3 books. I can put in my value there for the price of 1 exclusively for the first 20 fast responders. And why this matters to you, these books aren't just stories. See, now here I'm going to try to hit their pain points. They're guides too. Now I can insert in here the emotional transformational benefit that my books provide. See, this is where you can make it personal. So readers have already said they felt inspired, empowered, and unstoppable after diving in. Your risk is zero. You're not ordering from a big box store. You're supporting a personal mission. Every book is signed, shipped with love, and comes with my gratitude guarantee. If you're not thrilled, reach out. I'll make it right. But don't wait. Once 20 signed bundles are spoken for, the offer closes. This is a real limited and personal. Ready to claim your signed copy? Click now to order. So you see how it would make a difference on how you put together your offer. So I want to, and Sherry, I'm going to put here, because I know you've been working a lot on your business. I'm going to make you a co-host. That way you can share your screen if you want. And Linda, I'm going to make you a co-host so you can share your screen if you want. And so I want to go over to either Sherry or Linda, whichever one, give me a hand. Who wants to share an offer they've most recently put together, and how did you use those components of putting some urgency into the request, into your offer, and answering some of the pain points of your audience? Any takers?
Should I let out what I'm going to plan on doing on Friday?
Sure. Sure.
So there's urgency with it because it's like a one day offer.
Because it's going to pass, right? Yes.
Yeah. So I am a member of a book study group that of authors that were written, that wrote between 1900 and 1930.
Okay.
Napoleon Hill was one of the most famous ones of that group. But there were many others and many other stories in that era that affect how business is run today. It also is part of like that whole cyclical history thing, because history repeats itself. And the offer that I'm making on Friday is to become part of this membership site, but I also want to add on something personal to the people that are there, that we have our own private mastermind group to help each other in our group expand their own business. Because what happens in the big group is there's so many people there, you kind of get lost. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to create this smaller group as well. So they're joining a mastermind that is nationally renowned, so they can get into all of those and then have personal small group interactions to help get unstuck where they are stuck. So that's what's happening on Friday. And I'm doing it using the model that is created by Pete Vargas. And okay. He calls it a dinner experience, but we're doing it at lunchtime. So we're okay. Doing the lunch experience. So some of the intricacies of how that works will be something maybe different than what you've seen before, because it's not a lunch and learn. It's something different than that.
Okay. So can you describe what his process is for his dinner meetup? That you're kind of tweaking it to be a lunch meetup, but describe what his system
so
says.
So we end up with a topic to talk about during that. And every meeting can be a whole lot different, but you have a meeting to talk about, and you have to share a give in response to the topic.
Okay.
Personally and professionally. And then you can do an ask. So you get one ask. And then we go around the table a second time if we have time, and we give feedback to each one of the people in the group. So you're not only getting to talk about your own issues, your wins, your losses, you're also going to get to give feedback to every single one of the people in the group. before the main host gets to do their give and ask.
So everyone at the table gets to share what it is that they're marketing, how they're marketing it, and then they have it. And the ask is the ask their call to action ask, or is their ask more of a as a mentoring group, what could I do better kind of ask?
It's more of a I'm stuck on this. Do you have any suggestions how to get me out of it?
So it's really a great mentoring session. So, and you're doing that this coming Friday.
This coming Friday, Kathy, I've been telling people to arrive around 11. I know that's the time that you're very busy, but
Flipping rooms,
don't have to be in there and sitting if you are busy. I get that, but I appreciate the fact that you're letting me have a luncheon.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Mark's excited. He goes, "We get to use the new dining room." So anyway, it's all good. Linda, how about you? You're putting together offers. I know you're actually putting together kind of a whole new program for you. And I don't know if you have your free offer already, if you're doing a free offer or you have your first space offer, but talk to us about what you're doing and what that looks like for your business.
The
Oh,
free
we
offer
don't hear.
would be,
There you go.
is it kicking in? For me, the free offer is the meetup. And we meet twice a month.
Okay, for those of you that are listening, it's on meetup.com. She simply has created, she has a meetup group there. She's created an account and she has put her events right there. It's a search engine, separate from like any other social media, Facebook or Instagram or whatever. It's a whole separate platform called meetup.com. And I find a lot of my folks come from there as well. So if you're putting together a program, that might be something to look at. So I just wanted to interrupt Linda long enough to explain what that was.
Yeah, it's nice to not have people be confused or lost when you're describing something. So it's on that platform. It's called the Automated Entrepreneur. So that whole experience for people is free. I'm considering that my free offer. And really just getting that off the ground has been primary for me. And I'll be advancing and creating more as I go. I want to nurture the email list more and continue to provide value. I just started something where when I give the replays, I'm going to provide a one pager like recap of what we talked about and some of the best ahas that attendees came away with and that kind of thing. I feel that that's a good value add for folks. And then,
And it'll also drive more folks to the event because they'll say, oh, this is what I've been looking for, some feedback.
yeah.
And
And if they share it, there's a CTA, a call to action at the bottom, which provides the link to find out more about the meetup event. So if somebody felt that that was share worthy, someone else may find me because of that.
I love it. I love it. So, what is your first event look like?
Well, we've
That,
had it. We've had
okay.
two, and tomorrow's my third.
Okay, how is it going then?
It's going very well. A nice attendance so far, and growth, of course, with an established group of already more than 200 members. It's just a matter of them fitting it into their schedule and getting their interest intrigued. And then because of some things going on in my world, travel and whatnot, I haven't been marketing to the web yet. So I'll begin doing that, and that'll bring in outside people as opposed to the inner circle who are already part of that group.
Okay. Now, Sherry and Linda, do either of you do any type of paid advertising? Are you actually paying for Facebook ads or anything on Instagram where you're actually paying to boost or to advertise what you're doing?
I'm not yet. Are you, Sherry?
I tried and I got hacked in Meta and I have stopped. I have disconnected my Meta payment because I don't trust them anymore. So I was for a little while, but got money taken and so I got out of it.
Wow. What it's share with us what happened so that we don't step in the same situation.
Sure. So when you start doing ads on Facebook, you'll get inundated with emails and messenger people. You'll get comments like they were just coming from everywhere. You have stepped on intellectual prop. It was always intellectual property violations. And one day I made the mistake. I thought I was actually responding to an email from Meta. What I found out is Meta will not email you unless you go into their platform and talk to them first, then you'll get an email. So if you do this, make sure that you're talking to Meta before you ever do an email. And that was my mistake, is I responded and they ended up being able to get access to my bank account and then started taking money and I lost about $300 over the span of 48 hours.
Oh, Sherry.
It took 12 weeks with Michael and I working together to get it back. It took probably 6 to 8 hours when I realized what was going on to get them to stop taking money. Like they were changing my passwords quicker than I could. So
Oh,
I
my.
was glad I had Michael because I would have had to close my account because I couldn't figure out what I was doing. Because he was coming in doing fit things faster than I could imagine. So
Yeah.
have a techie available if something does happen. But yeah, don't reach out if you get an email that says it's from Meta, unless you have just done something on the Facebook site that they need to respond to you. That's the only time you respond on email.
Well, and to clarify a little bit more what Sherry's talking about, I haven't done any paid advertising. So my bank account is not connected to Meta at all because I've not done any paid advertising. However, I do have a couple of pages. I have our Build a Better Business page is a whole separate page from my profile page, and I have a separate page for my Caraway Guest House. And so I just post, you know, that we had this meetup, or I'll post on the guest house that we had these wonderful guests. And I sometimes in my notifications on Facebook, I'll get a notification that says I have violated Meta policies and please click through to dispute this, blah, blah, blah. And that's a scam. But if you don't realize that it's a scam, like Sherry, you could say, oh my gosh, what did I do to violate policies? All I did was make a post that we had wonderful guests. And so you're very tempted, if you're kind of new at this, you're very tempted to click on that thinking you've actually done something. Because they say, oh, if you don't respond, we're gonna delete your page. You know, they really make it sound like you're in trouble. And so if you don't know any better, you think, oh, I better click on that and see what I did wrong. And so anyway, I just did a little research and realized that was a scam tactic. And Sherry, am I correct that you fell for something similar to that? Yeah, that's a scam tactic because it does make it sounds very real and it sounds very urgent and it sounds like you could lose all your work that you've done already because they're going to just delete your page. And so you have a tendency to want to fix it. And so just be careful of those and don't click on any of those. What I do now, whether it's an email, whether it's a text message, whether it's in my Facebook notifications, I don't care where I get a message. If it says you have a problem, you need to contact us, I get totally out of it and I go directly to the source. So if it's my bank saying, oh, you need to click here because, your last payment is going to bounce, I don't click through there to fix it. I go clear out and go directly to my bank. And then my bank will often, well, always so far has said, no, there's no problem. That was a scam. Thank you for not clicking on that. So just do your due diligence and don't click on all those things. So Sherry, I'm so sorry you went through that because the scammers, they've perfected it, I'm telling you. They've perfected it to make it look so real. They're even now stealing and using whatever organization they're representing or trying to represent. They're actually using their graphics to make it look even more real. Like somebody said that my PayPal was going to get discontinued and to click through to fix my PayPal account. And they use the actual PayPal graphics to make it look like they were really from PayPal. But again, I pulled clear out of it, went over to my PayPal, signed into my PayPal totally separate, and there was nothing wrong. So just know that those scammers are getting more and more dangerous out there. So be careful with that. Sherry, thank you for sharing that. Not everybody will share something like that. So I appreciate that because that is a real problem, especially for those that are trying to launch something and, you've not been in this realm before. Maybe you worked a regular corporate job over the years and you're trying to do a side hustle and build something on your own. And like most of us, you got to figure it out on the way. So thank you. Tina, how about you? I see that you're with us today. Thank you so much for joining us. Would you like to share a little bit about who you are and what it is that you're doing? She very well might be multitasking. We had another gal on as well, but she had another meeting at 12:30. We had Teresa Nichols on, and so she had to jump off to get to her other meeting. Hi, Tina, how are
Hello.
you?
I am good. I
So
am new to this and I haven't done any writing, and I thought this was about writing.
well, we do a lot of writing because we're again, you've probably tapped into my Ohio Writers Guild. And we have a different meetup every single Monday. The first Monday of the month is how to build a better business. And Tina, if you're a writer, this is for you as well, because I'm a firm believer, all writers should have a website. That's what.
See, I'm currently not a writer. I want to start writing, and that's what I thought this was about.
Okay. Well, we're glad you're here. So, did you find us on meetup?
I did. So do
Yep.
you offer workshops for beginning writers, beginners?
We do. That is the second Monday of every month is the Ohio Writers Guild. Then the third Monday, we talk about real estate investing to get some passive income so that you're not starving to death while you're trying to arrive as a writer.
Right,
And
nice.
then the fourth Monday at noon, we talk about just networking and connecting and building relationships because that's what pushes all of our businesses forward. So, but today we're talking about website design. And so keep that in mind that as you go down this path, you do need a website, even if it's just a like a three-page one. I encourage everyone to have at least a three-page website that just gives an overview of what their products are or what you hope your products are going to be. It could say even coming soon. And then an
Okay.
about me page that says, this is all about Tina. This is my story. And then a contact me page. And
Okay.
if your goal, and Sherry and Linda, see what you think about this. Whatever your goal is to be, put that on now and start introducing yourself as that.
Perfect.
I'm a teen, my name is Tina Younger and I'm an author. Because if
Okay.
you've even written a blog, if you've posted on Facebook, you're an author. You've printed something, you've authored something. Now, you want to make sure that you get a little bit of clout under that. So, if you let me ask you this, to be a writer, what type of writing are you hoping to do? Are you wanting, first of all, will it be fiction or nonfiction, or do you know yet?
Nonfiction.
Okay, nonfiction. And if it's nonfiction, do you have a particular topic that you're passionate about?
See, I thought about starting off with I haven't started. I'm newly retired. So I
Okay.
thought if I started off on short stories and then
Okay.
eventually grow it into a book.
Okay. Now, may I make a suggestion?
Yes.
Easy way to get published, and I know Sherry has one. I have one. Linda, do you have a blog?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm working on that now.
Okay. So Tina, the easiest way to get started is to simply start with a blog.
Do you have a blog?
I do. Mine is called freestyleliving.net.
Okay.
freestyleliving.net. And so you can start writing about whatever topics you want to write about on your blog. And that can be, your blog is just going to be basically a one-page website. It's just your blog page. And then my second page is about me, and my third page is how to contact me. So that's the whole thing on my blog. As a matter of fact, I'm going to share mine, and I'll let see if I can pull it up here.
Kathy's pulling that up, Tina. If you go to Sherry Dotter on YouTube, what I've started doing, because I'm shifting from a very nonfiction, medical, educational based thing to a different product. And what I'm doing, I wrote a historical fiction book. And I'm actually reading the historical fiction book live on a multiple different streaming sites. So I'm going on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram all at the same time. And then the next week, I'm explaining what that chapter was all about. So even though I'm fiction here, I'm based on a historical event. So there is some nonfiction parts,
Components, yeah.
components. Thank you. That's the right word.
Nice.
But one of the things that I'm doing to gain interest is I'm actually reading the book on my channel. So it's just something to think about if you're doing short stories. You could tell the short story without having to write it, and then if you work that way better, or you can actually physically write it out and then do something else. But if you find it's easier to talk it through, do it live. It makes it harder because you're going, oh my gosh, somebody might be watching me. But you're also going to then get feedback from what they say. And then you can take that download from the live event and you can make a transcript out of it and turn that into the book later.
Okay, nice.
And
And
what Sherry's Yeah, what Sherry's talking about is just repurposing her content. Once she creates something, she's repurposing it several different ways to get it. So she's not working so hard.
Oh, I understand. So what was her last name? Does Sherry what on YouTube?
It's right there under my name, Sherry Dotter, CHERIDOTTERER.
Okay.
You
And
see our names here.
I just started it. We haven't even gotten to the, and it's based on a very famous book because it's in the Bible.
Oh, nice.
So this is my blog that you see here, Freestyle Living Blog, and there's three pages: the home page, the work with me page, and the connect page. That's it. That's the whole thing. And so this was the last one that I wrote, called The Blurry Middle. And Sherry and Linda, you may recognize this. This was also my magazine article, and I repurposed it as my blog post. And so you can just read through there. And the way I monetize it is at the end. These are all over here. These are all the different blog posts I've written so far on the right-hand side. On the left side here, as you scroll to the bottom, it just has my little bio with my Linktree connect. So when you click on my Linktree, it takes you right over to my Linktree. And then again, this is what we teach in this, is how to lead with your story. And then you can see my event calendar, and then, meetup groups, courses, become a member, coaching, all of that. And then it comes down to the bottom on my Linktree, and it shows my author's page. See, and this is where you're headed, once you start writing. And then my podcast is there. And then my blog is there, my magazine is there. Linda and Sherry are both staff writers for the magazine. And my speakers page is there, my media kit, if somebody wants me to talk at one of their events. And we have our own little private community inside the academy, like our own little Facebook. And then we even have a speakers cabinet. If you're putting something together and you need one of us to be a speaker, you can find all of us there. So eventually you'll build out your program like this as well. Is that helpful to see that?
Oh, yes, very helpful.
Yeah. But when it comes to the blog, this is a great way to start writing. If you're more comfortable behind the camera, you could, what Sherry was talking about is do it live and then turn your live transcript into your blog. But if you're not comfortable doing something live or seeing yourself on camera, you can just start blogging and see, here's all of this is the most recent blog. These are my top three blogs after this one. And then down here is all of the other blogs. All of this here is all of the other blogs I've written. And so when you look at this three page, you can click on the work with me. And the work with me is, it's just tells my bio is all that is. That's all that is the bio. And then the connect page, and that is just how to get in touch with me if somebody wanted to get in touch with me. So it's just a three-page website is all a blog is. And correct me if I'm wrong, Linda and Sherry, you can get a blog site for or a yeah an actual three-page website for free all over the place, or very, very limited as far as the cost. I know GoDaddy, where I get my domains. This freestyleliving.net is a domain. I got mine from GoDaddy, and GoDaddy lets me point it to any website I want to point it to. And so I simply went on HostGator, is the site that I use to create my blog. But you don't have to use HostGator. You can kind of explore. You can just go on Google and say, what are the top blogging websites out there? I think Wix is going to come up. I don't know what else would come up. Of course, I love my Chat GPT is my favorite search these days. Top five websites for blogging, and see what it tells us. WordPress.org. Now, I'm not a WordPress girl. It comes up as number one. If you're a little techie, WordPress could be for you. WordPress is not for me because I never wanted to be a website builder. I wanted one that
Right.
I could just plug and play, just click the picture, scoot it over, and drop it in. I did
Yeah,
not want
something
to have,
simple.
I didn't want to do all the customization, whatever. Now there's one called Medium. That's writers focused on storytelling and building an audience. Wix, that's a top one for beginners and creative bloggers. So I would see it's drag and drop editor. That's what my HostGator is, a drag and drop. So I of those three, I would probably lean into the Wix. Substack, it's a newsletter style blogging. But people have to join to read your blog. And so sometimes it's harder to build an audience there. And then Squarespace. If you're gonna monetize your blog by having products, those on this call, you guys know Mason. He's created coffee mugs and mouse pads and all kinds of things. And so he actually has a store, and he'll talk about something and then he'll refer you over to buy some of the merchandise that has his quotes on the coffee mug or on the mouse pad. And so if you're planning on monetizing like that, Squarespace is a great way to get started. So anyway, that just gives you some ideas of how you might get started writing. And what it does is it gets the juices flowing. It gets you writing on a regular basis, and you're publishing on your own website as a blog. And so then you can really walk into a room, and when somebody says, "Oh, Tina, what is it you do?" "Oh, I'm Tina Younger. I'm an author. Here's my link to my blog." And then
Okay.
you can grow it from there. Then, and that particular website, you can add another page and make it your author page when you start publishing books.
Nice,
I'm
nice. Well, I thank
enjoying
you for all that
it.
information.
Yeah. So anyhow, see, nothing's by accident. So you were here on purpose.
Thank you so much.
Any comments from Linda or Sherry? Any aha moments? And Tina, how about you? Any aha moments from you?
No, I think you have given me a good start here, and I'm gonna try those websites for blogging, and I'm gonna tap into yours and Sherry's.
Yeah, Sherry, did you want to share yours? Now, Sherry's is right on her regular website. Mine is too. When you get to my regular website, I have a link, a page, a blog page. And when you click on my blog page, it simply links you out to my HostGator.
Okay, is Sherry's the same?
Sherry, I think yours, don't it, does yours actually sit right on your website or does it link it out somewhere else? Hers sits right on her website. And I know Linda's got an all-in-one program, and I'm sure Linda's will sit on her website and not link it out somewhere else. I'm using Teachable as my main platform because I started doing courses. That's how I got started. And so Teachable did not have a good blog with inside of Teachable. It didn't have a good blog page. So that's why I searched outside and found HostGator. And then I didn't want to, of course, get rid of my courses. And HostGator isn't good for course creation, but Teachable was. So now my Teachable just links to HostGator when you click on my blog. Does that help explain that a little bit?
Yes,
Yeah, but
yes.
Sherry's is right on her website and Linda's is right on her website.
And what is Linda's website?
Insert in the chat. My website is just my name, Linda-Thomas.com. And
Okay.
then right, mine lands on my resources page, which has a bunch of buttons pointing to different things, articles, services, tools that I use, even pointing to my meetup group.
Wonderful. This is a great start for me with a sense of direction, and I appreciate it.
So, and eventually you're gonna need a site because when you're creating digital products, and a lot of times, even though you're going to publish a book down the road, a lot of folks will never purchase your actual paper or hardback book. They'll just get the digital version. And so what happens, we're in such a digital society today that a lot of folks will just say, well, how can I find you and what you offer? And so you're going to have a place at some point to point all of your audience to. Which would
Okay.
be your website, however you want to position that. Sherry, did you want to share or are you in a position to share?
I can share. Yeah, it's on that page. So that's what my blog looks like. I haven't put anything on there for a while.
I like it though.
Yes, nice.
Okay. Very
And then,
nice.
like Kathy, she had the little boxes that had my categories are over here on the right.
Okay.
And this is what I was explaining earlier, Tina, is that my Teachable platform did not have what I needed to create a blog. I could start putting blogs just on a page in Teachable, but there was no way to search for the blog. There was no way to put them in order or by topic or by date. There was no way to arrange the blogs. You'd have to just scroll and scroll and scroll to see what you wanted to read, which is why I decided to leave the Teachable platform and find a good blogging website that had that component in it. And then I just linked my Teachable out to it. So Sherry's has that where she can do her categories and everything right there in her website.
Now, I
Linda, I
am
don't.
doing a WordPress website, but I have it built on a theme, so the theme helps guide me a little bit. So it's not like I am coding everything from scratch. I do have a website that is Coded from Scratch, and that's one of my podcasts. I didn't do the coding. My son did.
Yeah, so unless you really want to roll up your sleeves and figure out how to design and create some of that WordPress, I'm just not a WordPress girl, and that's why.
Question, Sherry, are you using the WordPress platform for your blog itself?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm like Kathy, I have no desire to go down that rabbit hole and learn all that stuff. And I have a friend that I will pay to build on WordPress if that's the platform I end up deciding on, because I just have no desire.
Now, you do have an all-in-one inclusive platform so that you can create an entire business. Does it have a blogging component in that platform?
Doesn't have a blogging component, and similar to what you were saying about Teachable, you can build pages and put things on, but some of those searchable features with the categories and the buttons and feature things, those are really blog features, and that isn't what this product was created for. So given that we cover pretty much all the other bases, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
And whenever I decide which platform, then I will just have my button go to wherever that is, and it'll be easy
So, like me, you're going to put your blog on a blogging platform and just link out to it when somebody clicks the blog page. Okay. Yeah.
And as
Yeah.
you have said, just have your look of your pages be the same, your brand colors, your themes, the look. And no one even knows or cares that they've gone to another platform. It's all
Right.
seamless.
This you can see now, this is my actual website on Teachable, and I'm going to get rid of my drop down bar. And so Tina, especially because Linda and Sherry have seen this a zillion times, but Tina, this is my actual website. And I'm not going to scroll through the whole thing, but as you scroll down, you can see, step one, step two, step three, et cetera, et cetera. But when you click on the little drop-down bar here, if you scroll long enough on the home page, you'll get to the blog. But if you click down on the more button and come down, there is my blog right here. So if somebody clicks on the blog tab, and this is what Linda was talking about, you see the colors, you see this burgundy color here. What I did is I went into when I picked this burgundy color for Teachable, I paid attention to the color code. Okay. Then when I came over here to my blog, which is a whole separate website, which is on HostGator, and whereas this is Teachable, when you click on my Freestyle Living blog, and it always takes a minute, I use the same color code with the burgundy. That way, I didn't want my readers to feel like they left my website. I didn't want the website to be burgundy and my blog to be pink or blue or something. So
That way it all connects.
I use the same color code to make them feel like they were still with me. See, now each of these pictures are different colors because the picture goes with whatever I was blogging about. But you see my background color even here in all of my little tabs is still the burgundy. And then when you scroll all the way to the bottom, see, I'm still doing the burgundy. And I use the same burgundy color code as the Teachable. So when you go back and forth, it's the same shade. So hopefully that helps
Tina,
explain what it is that we're doing.
do you know how to find those codes on your
No, I
colors?
don't. No, I haven't researched
Until
that.
yeah, until you're actually in one of those drag and drops, they're all a little bit different. But if you pick, for example, if you pick Wix or Squarespace, where they're a drag and drop kind of platform, so you can build it pretty easy. You don't have to know all that coding, like Sherry's son does. At that point, you'll kind of see where the code comes up, because when you go to pick a color, it'll show you the color wheel and the actual numbers of the color code. And once you see that, I just have a little post-it tablet next to me. And if I'm designing something and I pick a color, I just jot down the code.
I have a
And then
suggestion too. So, Tina, if you're kind of looking around at websites or just things that you like. Do you happen to use which browser do you use for internet browsing? Like Chrome?
I use Chrome on my laptop and Safari on my iPad and my phone.
So if you're on your laptop and you're using Chrome, you can add what they call an eyedropper extension, and they're free, and you can just pick one that looks like it's highly recommended. And you just put the little eyedropper tool on the color of, like, let's say there's a border, a banner, a shirt that somebody's wearing, and you like that color, just touch that eyedropper tool to that patch of color, and you'll have the color code. And then you can use that anywhere you want after you take note of what that code is.
Okay, wonderful.
And that keeps your branding, and that's what we're talking about, is we're talking about
Yes.
branding so that when somebody lands on your stuff, that the color, it's like when we see a commercial, we can tell what the company is oftentimes by the graphics, and sometimes just by the color of the graphics, we can tell you whether it's Pepsi or Coke.
Correct.
And so that's what we're talking about, is creating some sort of a branding. Like mine is all burgundy, Sherry's is all the purples. Linda, what's yours? What's your main color?
Right now I've got kind of a, I can actually show you it for the automated
Okay.
entrepreneur. It's kind of a, I don't know what to call it, kind of a brilliant blue and a like
Okay.
a lipstick pink. Now yes. Let
And
me
then
open
Sherry has
it.
a question about needing an opinion on a logo, but go ahead, Linda.
Sure. So I'm just opening my graphic and then I'm going to come back to us and find that share button. Hiding under more. There we go. And with any luck at all, it should be this one. And hopefully you see a guy in a hammock.
I do.
Yes.
I like it.
Thank you.
Yes, it's popping. I love those colors.
Yes, yeah, working great for me. And I showed this to some friends recently, and one of the people said, "I want to be the guy in the hammock." And so to me, that meant that my branding is working.
Yes, because
Yes.
that's exactly what you're inviting them to do by joining your meetup, is to be the guy in the hammock. Yeah.
Laptop lifestyle. Preach it.
I love it.
Okay, I'll stop sharing and give the screen back.
Okay, Sherry, you had a you wanted an opinion on a logo. Now again, my logo, because I'm teaching, is an open burgundy book that says Kathy Benner International Academy on it. That's my logo. And so anytime any site asks for a logo, that's the logo I upload. Ah, okay. So you've got the green and the purple. Okay.
Nice.
Very nice. I do like that.
It's very clean and uncluttered. It's nice. Sometimes people try to pack in so much of the message they're trying to convey that it gets to be too much.
Yeah, it
Yes.
gets lost.
Sherry, are you looking for something?
So there we go. It helps if I don't have the mic on. So I have a brand kit here that I've started. I actually have one for my husband and one for his car club, and I can add another one. So what's nice about brand kits is that logo, that color that you found that you love. All of my colors that I use when I'm doing any work on my own stuff is right here,
And there's your codes.
and those are the codes I'm talking about at the bottom. There is another kind of code, and that is an RGB and sometimes Y code. So those are a little different. They all come back to the same color. So having those color pickers, and using them to find it. But the thing I had the question about, and you guys seemed to answer it, and I think I lost it because I went over this.
Button
There
is
it
your
comes.
friend. Yep.
There it is. I like
So
that.
you like that?
Huh?
And then what I did was I just took that out for the favicon. So that's the little itty bitty icon that you see up on the tab of the page. So when I bring that down, because right now, when I bring that down to the size that it would be for like a favicon, it's
Right.
gonna kind of look like that, which I know you can't really see it. I couldn't just do the hands because it was one thing and it wouldn't let me download it, so I had to do something else.
Okay. But so you use that though in your actual logo.
And then yes, so that is, if we go back to the logo, that's right
Yes,
here.
there it is. Yep. I like it.
Thank you.
I'd love to share my favicon too after you're done, Sherry. It's really important when you're working with something that's so tiny, once it's up in the browser tab, that it be not just a little weird blob, which often favicons turn into. So yeah, you kept yours pretty simple.
Yeah, but if
Can
I
you
make
open
it
the
go to
tab?
that small, it does look like a little blob.
Yeah, can you open a page that has that already as a favicon so we can see it on the
No, I
top of
was
your
just
screen?
creating it. I don't I
So you
all
haven't used that.
I haven't finished all this yet.
Okay. Yeah, so it's not installed yet on a page.
No.
Yeah, I'd love to show you mine because I actually really like it, and it took some playing to get a setup that didn't look just stupid,
And
on the tab.
Tina, don't let us overwhelm you, Tina. This is way down the road for you.
Oh no,
Yeah.
this is exciting. Yes.
Go ahead, Linda.
Oh, okay. Let me hit the share button. Come on now. And there we go. So hopefully this is the final version of it. I just opened my Canva, and I guess
I
that's
like it.
yeah. And I don't know if you are you able to see my entire screen? Because I have a favicon open. You can see it in tab up in the upper right
Yeah, I can see
if
it in the
that's being
tab.
shared. But I do what did what I call font experiment. I'll open Canva, and like if LT is what I'm trying to do, I'll just do page after page, and I might have 37 examples with a different font, and then when I've decided on the one that worked, then like to try to get it to show up decently when installed, and like I would download one that I thought was pretty good, and I would throw it into my funnel builder as my favicon, and then open a tab. And it was just iteration, but I'm just really pleased with it because it looks really good right up next to other
Yes.
real brands that you've heard of.
I love it.
Thank you.
And Tina, that's down the road. Don't worry
Yes.
about logos. Don't worry about all that yet. I love it.
No, but it's very helpful to be exposed to it now.
Yes. Now, and I know Linda does, and I know Sherry does. Tina, do you have already a Facebook page, a Facebook
No.
profile page, and an Instagram profile page?
No. I mean, I have one, but I don't have one as far as writing's concerned yet.
Okay. Now, that's up to you if you want to use your personal profile page or if you want to create a second business page. If you think down the road that you want to do some advertising, you can only do that from a business page. You cannot do that from your personal profile page. So if you want to get started on a separate page, you launch that page from your personal profile page. So it's connected to, but it's a business page. And so for you, I would name my second page maybe Tina Younger, comma author, or Tina Younger, comma blogger, or something along that line.
Okay.
And then you can post there when you create a blog on whatever website you're going to create your blog on. Let's say you're on Wix and you've got your blog ready to go. You can take your blog URL and you can actually post it on your Facebook page, and it will populate your post with your picture and the link right over to your blog. And
Okay.
that's how you would market the blog. That's how you would get it out in front of the masses, is that you would actually have it on a website page, but then you're going to sprinkle it across your social media. And you can just sprinkle that URL across your Facebook page, your Instagram page, and definitely have a LinkedIn page. Those would be my three top, is would be Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Now, Linda and Sherry, any other top ones for you guys, or do you agree that's kind of maybe where to start? I mean, you could do Pinterest. You could, there's hundreds of pages you could get on, but then you're so overwhelmed with posting and then, or finding a program to do the posting for you, and that's where a lot of people, then they just don't do it at all because it gets too overwhelming. So if I just do those three, and I do them faithfully every day. I post something across those three every day.
I think it depends on what you like, Tina. Do you like to write and create that way? Do you like to
Yeah.
speak it and do it that way? It depends on your preference on how you like to accomplish the task at hand as to what mediums that you use. So if you do like video, you want to be on YouTube. If you don't like video, you can hold off on YouTube.
Yes, I would be a writer, not a video person.
Yeah, and you might down the road launch into it. I wrote for the first 5 years before I ever launched over into video.
Do you want to speak to possibly the idea of using the Medium platform for Tina as a way of just starting to do stuff?
That's a great platform, but it kind of limits you to just the blogging. But it would be a great place to launch the blog, because then you could
And
always
the
link over to it.
right, the social media posts could point that direction.
So Tina, that's a great point that Linda made. If you go on Medium, that is nothing but a blogging platform. And
Okay.
you can look around in there and see what you like and what you don't like about other bloggers, so you get a feel for what everybody's doing, and then you can kind of practice your chops over there and get some blogs, posted there. And then later you could always create a website on any platform. And like Linda and I, you could have a blog tab on your website and just link it over to the Medium. So you could
Yeah,
blog
for
on Medium.
starters.
Yeah, you could blog over there for a couple, 3 years without ever having an actual website.
Right. And you wouldn't
Okay.
have to like pay to have a platform. And then I think the key is there's a one way of doing it there where your content is exclusive to them. And I think that's part of getting monetized, which if you're beginning, forget about it. You're not going to monetize anyway. But just don't
Right.
hem yourself in by agreeing that you can't use that content anywhere else. And then whenever you're ready to build out your own blog page, just copy the stuff onto there. But at least it's
Okay.
like a really quick way to start iterating and implementing.
All right.
Nice.
Medium platform for blogging, pros and cons, and pricing. Medium is an online publishing platform. Okay, the co-founder of Twitter allows both amateur and professional writers to publish content and reach an engaged audience. It emphasizes high quality writing and reading experiences. Pros, it's a built-in audience, so you don't have to build a platform, it's already there. It's a minimalist design, there's no technical hassles. Writers can earn money based on engagement from Medium members, measured in reading time, and good for those who write consistently and have high quality content. It ranks well. It's easy to import, so you can import easy. Now, it's lack of control. You don't own your audience or platform because you're basically borrowing the Medium platform, which is great when you don't have a platform.
Right.
It says they can change its algorithms, policies, or even remove your content. So one thing I will encourage you to do if you're going to use Medium, and it's a great tool to get started, is make sure that whatever you write your blog, make sure that you save a PDF of it, either in Google Docs or Word or something. Say so in case you do lose it for whatever reason, you still have it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, so make sure you have a copy of it. It's limited branding because again, you're just already on their platform. It's not ideal for business blogs. Monetization is variable. Pricing, it's free. Publish unlimited stories and engage with readers. Yeah, now you can buy another, a higher program, but there's a free version. You can stay on free forever if you want.
And I think that would be a good opportunity when you're first starting off.
Yeah. So, and the good news, and we teach this in Build a Better Business. If you don't have a platform, borrow someone else's platform. So you basically would be borrowing the Medium platform for readership, and that would actually get you known as a blogger.
And you can start saying, I am a writer. I got stuff on Medium.
Yep, you're published. You are, as soon as you publish your first blog there, you're considered published.
Okay.
I love it. Guess what? We have a new writer with us today, Tina Younger. I love it. Okay, we've gone over today, but this has been fun. Tina, sorry we put you on the spot, but as you can tell,
Oh no, this has been wonderful. Great learning experience.
yeah, as you can tell, the rising tide raises all the ships, and we give away everything we possibly can to help our fellow business person step up their game. So thank you for being with us today. We talked early on, I think before you jumped on, if you click the little green shield at the very top, if you're on your computer, it'll show you the webinar ID and also the invitation link. You can click up there and make a copy. You can copy and paste that maybe over in your calendar or wherever, so that you can join us. But you can always go right to the meetup. It's the same link that you found us on today. We're on every Monday at noon, but with a different topic. The actual Ohio Writers Guild, which is all about writing, is on the third Monday. No.
Wonderful. Thank you, ladies, and I
Oh, it's on the
appreciate
second.
each and every one of you.
The writing is on the second Monday. It's the real estate on the third Monday. So the writers is next Monday on the second Monday. So anyway, thank you for being with us. And we're going to go until next time. Linda, thank you so much for being on. Sherry, thank you for jumping on. Sherry, I will see you on Friday. And Tina, don't be a stranger. Come back and see us again.
Wonderful. Thank you.
All right. We'll see everybody next time. Bye.
Bye.